Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? 'Cause Stone Cold said so.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Highs and Lows in Wrestling on the unofficial WWE Podcast. My name is Mimi Burris, and we had another loaded week of wrestling, and I'm excited to talk to you guys about it, so let's jump right in. So yeah, like I said, guys, I mean, another full week of wrestling. I don't necessarily know if it was a good week of wrestling, but, you know, there was slim pickings for the highs, and it was really hard to choose which low to talk about specifically on this show, so not necessarily, I guess, what we were, what we'd call a good week in wrestling, but a lot of content, for sure to dive through. So, you know, when I talk about the low for the week, I guess mostly I was looking at the women, you know, as to what I was picking. I mean, there was the Dana Brooke, Mandy Rose, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax match that was just repetitive and off. I could have said that 2 weeks ago, and I would have been talking about some other repetitive, boring match that probably happened again, same stuff. Maybe the only little difference was that, oh my god, there's two members of a tag team and they just can't get along, like the storyline that's going on with, you know, if you hadn't heard what I was just talking about and you just heard that line, you could probably pick, you know, four or five tag teams, aka all of WWE's main roster tag teams that they have that storyline, quote unquote, going on, if you even want to call it that, that they just can't get along. There was that Bayley and Bianca Belair segment, the ding dong hello thing, and I actually thought that was kind of cute, like the little door, the setup. I think Bayley has really grown into herself on the mic. I thought she was really good in the beginning, and then it just got awkward. You know when you're watching wrestling and you physically just feel awkward watching it? I don't know if it's secondhand embarrassment or whatever the heck it is, but Bianca Belair was terrible on the mic. It was weird when she went and sat in that chair and Bayley was like, oh, that's my, I don't know, who was the heel, who was the face at a certain point. It was bad. I couldn't even try to talk about that as a low with you guys, I think, for the week, because there's nothing to talk about really, other than it was just bad. It was bad promos, bad chemistry, bad cadence. It was just awkward to watch altogether, and which sucks, because I mean, the talk show thing is kind of played out, but I think if anybody could pull it off nowadays, it's Bayley. You know, just give her a mic. I don't know if she's scripted or not, but whatever she does on that mic, I enjoy. You know, maybe she's not supposed to be entertaining because she's a heel, but whatever, it's entertainment on a WWE program, so that's a start, right? There was that weird Sasha Banks interaction with Carmella and I think his name is Reginald. I don't know. Is the sommelier. I don't want to see a match between Sasha Banks and the sommelier. I don't know if you do, but I could not care less about that. I also just think Sasha Banks is awkward on the mic too, as a face at least. I think she's probably better as a heel. I think Carmella, though, to say, is probably, you know, whooping Sasha Banks, you know what, on that mic. You know, in comparison to what they've been doing for their last little feud or whatever you want to call it, I think Sasha Banks has not delivered her lines nearly to the caliber that Carmella has been able to. And it all sounds scripted. And I mean, I'm talking about like Carmella delivering lines well. Like, that's not the biggest praise in the world, but that's really where we've gotten with the programming on this show. So a lot of bad women's stuff to talk about. The men's stuff too. We could go into Raw and the double booking and that weird Matt Riddle stuff, and then the Jeff Hardy loss to whatever his name is, Jackson Ryker, that guy who shouldn't be on my television for other reasons that I won't dive into, and then beat Elias. That was weird. I popped a little bit for like the Elias, and he was like, don't help me in the match. And then, you know, you guys saw what happened. Anyways, there was some bad stuff on the men's side, but mostly the women's side stuck out to me this week because all of it was terrible. And with all that being said, let's get specifically into my low for the week, which is Lacey Evans versus Charlotte Flair on Raw. Let me preface this with saying a couple things, I guess. One, you know, I'm a little, I never wanted to say that Charlotte Flair was in my low for the week on this show, because Charlotte Flair, I've been watching wrestling since I could watch something, I guess, as a little kid. I've been watching wrestling for a while, at least in terms of how long I've been on the earth, which is not that long. But, and so I've seen, you know, I've seen a good amount of content. I've seen a lot of wrestlers come and go and whatever, men, women. And Charlotte Flair is without a doubt my favorite wrestler of all time. I think there is nobody that is more gifted athletically, naturally. I think she is like the if you want to put it in comparison to just natural talent in the ring, she is like the Randy Orton of the women's division, but better. She's not, you know, or probably her weakest side is, you know, on the mic or on the stick. But like, I don't know. I mean, compared to everything else, again, if everything else is a 10 out of 10 for me, and maybe she's like a 7 out of 10 on the mic for me, that's fine. I think she's got the look. She's got great ring gear. I think she's way better as a heel than a face, but whatever. She's back on my TV, so I'm liking it. Yet, sadly, she is in my low for the week, and not necessarily her fault, I don't think. We won't be talking a lot about Charlotte Flair's faults, I guess. And, you know, again, if she were to screw up or whatever, I'd like to talk about it. I'm not biased enough on this show for that. You know, I talk about a bunch of wrestlers on the show that I like that are just doing a terrible job at whatever they're doing, or maybe they're just being delivered terrible lines or whatever, but terrible storylines. But really, this kind of goes to creative and Lacey Evans. I guess let's start off with the match itself. There was a promo beforehand, and actually, I think Charlotte said something along the lines of, you know, why are we talking about my dad? It's 2021. Like, let's talk about me, you know, and not in a heelish way, but like, let's move on from Ric Flair. And I was like, oh, thank God, right? Because we all remember last week's Raw and that terrible Legends night, and what a sham that was of 3 hours of my life that I'm never going to get back. But then later on, I mean, Lacey Evans cuts a promo, and the promo before the match from Lacey Evans wasn't that bad. It was weird because she's talking about a man probably twice, almost three times her age. It was uncomfortable, but she delivered her lines fairly well for Lacey Evans. But then we get in the ring, right? We start this match, and oof. I mean, I don't know if it's Lacey Evans all the way. I think I would lean that way. It's kind of like when someone gets injured in a match with Nia Jax, you're kind of like, yeah, it was probably your fault, but like, let's look into it a little bit more. Same kind of thing when there's a crappy match and Lacey Evans is in it and Charlotte Flair is in it. I'm probably gonna lean more to it was probably Lacey Evans. And there were a couple weird things in this match. I mean, it was just uncomfortable. The wrestling looked, I hate to use the word fake, but like, that's the best word to use, I think, because it just looked, the acting in the ring, I guess. I don't know what word to use for it. Like, I'm thinking about it's a specific part where, you know, Charlotte Flair, Charlotte throws Lacey Evans into the turnbuckle, and she's like running at half speed and like makes this weird grunt, and it just looks fake. And I'm supposed to be watching this thing knowing in the back of my head it's not fake, but it's scripted, right? And you're making it look like, I don't know, like a play fight that I could see some amateur like 10-year-olds putting on in their backyard, you know, on their trampoline or whatever. Like, it wasn't good. And the rest of the match was the same way. It just wasn't good. You got Charlotte Flair kind of just working the leg, doing some moves to Lacey Evans. When Lacey Evans didn't have to do anything, the match was okay. But as soon as she had to react to something or whatever, or like sell something, awful. And we're going to get into selling later on. But and then you've got Ric Flair come out, and Charlotte's like, what the heck? And so is everybody else watching their screen, right? Or watching TV. And he, like, holds Lacey Evans while Charlotte's trying to do a suplex or something. The thing I want to get to is that he trips Charlotte Flair again or something like that. Or he puts Lacey Evans' foot on the rope, which, again, just looked weird. It wasn't the timing, the chemistry, whatever. I don't know what you want to call it. It just looked off. And if you don't believe me, go back and watch it. It was uncomfortable. And then when he's helping Lacey win, he like holds Charlotte Flair's foot down under the ropes, mind you, under the ropes, where the referee, literally in the same spot, the referee just stopped the match because Lacey Evans' foot was on the rope. But Charlotte's feet are under the ropes, and Rick is holding under her ankle, like that's going to stop her from kicking out. It was, what? You don't lift your shoulder up. It was just weird. It was just bad. It was bad TV, bad wrestling, bad, I don't know, bad booking. And not to mention, like, the storyline is creepy, you know, it's creepy. I don't think there's anything wrong with an age gap between partners or whatever, but that's the real big age gap and really creepy. It's that kind of thing you see, like, when you're out to dinner or whatever, you see, like, a young blonde and a man that looks like Ric Flair, and you're kind of like, either they're father and daughter or there's something weird going on there, because it's weird. But I will have to say, you know, with all that being said, they're trying. They're making a storyline in the women's division that doesn't revolve around the title. They're trying. The fact that I have to come onto this podcast and say that they're trying is tells you where WWE is at today. Let me put it that way. But they are. They're trying, and it's something. You know, I don't. It's something to sink your teeth into. I don't know about you. I don't necessarily want to sink my teeth into that. Kind of yucky. But it's something. But the match was terrible. The whatever they were supposed to be doing there was terrible. Not to mention, they screwed it up last week, too. So here's 2 weeks in a row. It was just weird and awful. And you're having Charlotte take this loss for what? And then she can't kick out when Ric Flair's holding her foot. Like, oh, like a 90-something-year-old man is holding my foot. Under the ropes. The same ropes that Lacey Evans' foot was just on and that, you know, stopped the count. Oh, God. It was not good. So that's my low for the week. You know, there were a lot of other things to talk about, and I'm not going to harp on the crap that was WWE this week. You know, on NXT wasn't really great either. There wasn't a lot of good to talk about. But moving on to a more positive note, let's get into the high for the week. And I want to specifically talk about selling, too. This idea about selling, because Lacey Evans sucked at it. But there's some other people in the wrestling industry that aren't so bad at it. And so for this week's high, we're going to talk about Darby Allin defending his TNT championship against Brian Cage. This was the main event on night 2 of New Year's Bash at on AEW. I don't know how many of you guys actually watch AEW. I know this is called the WWE podcast, but it is something we talk about from time to time. And I don't talk a lot about it on the show, honestly. And I'm not, I am continuously trying to be more of an AEW avid watcher because I think the show is phenomenal, honestly. I mean, it's got its flaws, don't get me wrong. But if you compare it to any other wrestling out there to watch right now, it's probably top tier. And I'm a WWE fan, you know, through and through, always have been, but trying to branch out a little bit more and make sure I'm paying attention to all the other wrestling out there. I mean, I know there was like Wrestle Kingdom going on earlier, and it's a lot of wrestling to watch, and it's not all crap like SmackDown and Raw mostly is, and NXT is okay. But so yes, this match, for those who don't know, Darby Allin, TNT Championship, it's kind of like the Intercontinental title, but way better and more respected, and the newest, one of the newest titles on AEW. Darby Allin is 170 pounds going into this, you know, with a brick in his pocket, and Brian Cage is about 272, if not more, something like that. I might have gotten the numbers wrong, but there is a giant weight discrepancy, and that was kind of the story going into this match. Taz is on the mic, and Taz is amazing for Brian Cage, knows how to speak, and again, I don't know how Brian Cage is on the mic, I'm not familiar with him, but they don't need him to speak because they have Taz. What do you know? Take someone who doesn't know how to cut a promo and give him someone who does know how to cut a promo. Speaking of which, side note, I was watching that Bianca Belair segment with Bayley, and I was like, God, she needs someone who can talk because she clearly can't. And I was like, who could we give her? Who's someone? And I couldn't think of anyone because there's no one. I don't know, maybe, like, I was like, my first thought was Zelina Vega, but look what they did with that, you know? I think that would have been a great pairing. Just, like, little Zelina Vega talking all this trash and, you know, Bianca Belair backing it up because she's incredible in the ring. Just, that segment was awful. Anyways, TNT Championship match, Darby Allin, Brian Cage. Darby Allin's got this thing going on with Sting. He's got a... you know, I don't know, he brings the skateboard out to the ring, whatever, he's got a thing, he's Darby Allin, he's a huge fan favorite, and he's been the TNT champion for only a little while, just defeated Cody Rhodes for it, and this is his first title defense, if I'm correct, and this match was unbelievable, not because it was a five-star match, you know, there were some good spots, obviously, but it wasn't, like, spotty, if that makes sense. Essentially, this whole match was Brian Cage beating the crap out of Darby Allin, and Darby Allin selling it like a champ, and then kicking out, and specifically kicking out at one, and so this is what I wanted to talk about, I guess. Darby Allin is the small man, clearly, in this match. It's unbelievable, the size difference. It's like watching AJ Styles with Jordan Amos. I'm never going to get that. But it's not because I'm not trying, right? Darby Allin is this tiny dude, and Brian Cage, like, there was one spot in the match where Brian Cage literally, like, holds him in a military press, like, just chucks him from the ring to the outside and, like, past, you know, where the mats might be or whatever, and through a table. And it was so perfectly imperfect. Like, it looked safe-ish, obviously. Maybe not safe, but it looked well done, but at the same time, it didn't look too staged. Like, the table looked like it was supposed to be there. It wasn't, like, set up previously or whatever. It was just, again, beautifully done. There was some color in the match. You know, Darby Allin got cut open. That always gives you more just emotional investment in a match 9 times out of 10. Just, you know, when to fall back on that, fall back on that. And this match didn't need to, but, I mean, it certainly helped. And so, you know, Brian Cage is kicking the crap out of Darby Allin, but he keeps kicking out at one. But he's not selling. There's a difference. The story in this match is that, you know, Darby Allin's got a lot of heart, essentially, right? And so he looks like he's getting the crap kicked out of him because he is. But then he's able to kick out at one. Again, I don't know if I know how to explain this well, but not because he's not injured, but because he's got heart. And so that was the story being told, and it was beautifully done. And it wasn't like Fiend, no selling crap. It was like, I'm selling this. I'm genuinely injured and hurt, but I'm not letting you take my title. And the end of this match was a roll-up of sorts. It was like this, you know, it was a cool roll-up. Let's put it that way. I won't even try to describe it for you guys. But I would go watch this match if you haven't watched this match. AEW TNT World Championship match. New Year's Bash Part 2. It made the roll-up worked, if that makes sense, because they don't do it for every single freaking match, right? And it fit in the story. What's Darby Allin really going to do to put down a man like Brian Cage? Not a lot, right? Brian Cage is a huge dude, and Darby Allin is the size of his foot. And so I think I talked about this last week with Mickie James, and she had that great quote about, you know, selling 50%, the fans only care about 50%. And like, when you look at, I'm not emotionally invested in Darby Allin as a character because I'm not as avid as an AEW fan or an AEW watcher as other people would be, but I'm watching this match and I'm rooting for him and I'm thinking, oh, that's how you tell a story. Oh, that's how you tell a story in the ring. Oh, that's how you act like you're actually hurt when someone does something to you, rather than just resonating or reacting to it. No, like selling it. Show me that it hurt so I feel something for you. You didn't even need color to do that, but show me that you're injured or what this guy just did to you hurt you. If you got, you see the stuff going on, and AEW is guilty of this too, but like someone punched you in the face, like they supposedly punch each other in the face, you'd go down. If someone like, I don't know, AJ Styles, or if someone like Roman Reigns or Brian Cage or whatever, any of these big, if they punched you in the face, I don't care who you are, you're at least going down to a knee. And this is just like back and forth punching, or that stupid spot that they're overusing like nobody's business. I think they did this on NXT this week, actually. And I want to say it was Adam Cole and Fandango who did it. But it was like, oh, one guy hits one awesome move, and the other guy, instead of like selling it, just like bounces back up and hits his awesome move. Like, no, dude, you just got kicked in the chin. Make me believe that you just got kicked in the chin, not that I'm watching like a fake pro wrestling show, because I don't want to feel that way. I want to believe what I'm watching and believe that you guys are actually putting your bodies on the line like you are. Selling is such a lost art, and if you want to see how to sell something but not look like a dweeb, right? Not like a Dolph Ziggler and Goldberg WrestleMania, or I think it was SummerSlam, WrestleMania, one of those terrible, maybe it was Crown Jewel, but whatever, that short little thing where Dolph Ziggler looked like a dweeb for a PG podcast purposes. But you want to look strong, but also be able to pull emotions and pull fans into the match. Darby Allin, you know, A+ from me on how to do that. I was intrigued. I was into it. I believed it. I believed the roll up. I wasn't angry about it afterwards. Like, it was a good match, and it wasn't even that long, you know, and they did a really great job. So again, if you haven't seen this match, I really recommend it. I mean, you had Darby Allin flipping the bird multiple times to Brian Cage. I just like, it was very, I don't know, like Jeff Hardy, Undertaker, like Raw ladder match vibes, if anybody remembers that from however long ago that was. Like, again, where he just like wouldn't quit. but it wasn't annoying. It was just like this dude who has a lot of heart and is might be small, but has worked, you know, and grinded to get to where he is today, and he's not about to lose his title to some big meathead. That was a story being told, and it was wonderful. So I really recommend it. I have to say, though, real quick, another high for the week was Jey Uso calling Goldberg Oldberg. I don't know if he meant to do that on purpose, but I will now only refer to Goldberg as Oldberg whenever they try to put him in a main event title picture on my TV again, because they need to stop doing that. So Oldberg was the other high for the week, if I'm allowed to do that. So yeah, guys, that's your highs and lows for the week. You know, before I forget, I want to make sure I insert our random match recommendation for this week. And like I said, I really do recommend that you watch that Darby Allin match with Brian Cage on AEW. But your random match recommendation for this week is Hell in a Cell 2009. Rey Mysterio and Batista versus The Big Show and Jericho. I think they were actually called the Big Jericho or Jericho at that time. You know, one of many Big Show and Jericho's tag team partners. But great match. Totally recommend it. Really random. Really, really random recommendation this week. Again, you want to see selling, go to that match. These guys are all class pros. You know, whatever you think about them now, at least in 2009, they were doing their thing. And this is a great match. So 2009, Hell in a Cell, Rey Mysterio, Batista versus Big Show and Chris Jericho. And I think it was for the World Tag Team titles, if I remember. But it's been a little while since I watched that. But it is on my random recommendation list. So that's it for this week, guys. Thanks for listening. Hope you had another great week in this January 2021. Hope 2021 is a little bit better than 2020 has been for you. And again, I really appreciate you guys listening. I know we got the week in review coming up. You know, and then you've got your typical week with Matt's Raw review, the NXT review, the SmackDown review. I'm probably missing something. The Nostalgia, Mailbag, all these great shows on this podcast I am delighted to be able to be a part of. And again, can't thank you enough for, you know, even if there's one person out there now listening to this, it means a lot. And I really appreciate it. And I hope you guys have a great week. And let's hope this week is a little bit better than last week in wrestling. Probably won't be, but we can hope. All right, guys, I'll talk to you next week.